Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. My name is Gary McCance, producer and host. I'd like to acknowledge our listeners on Spotify, iHeart, and TuneIn Radio, Amazon, Apple, Google, and more, tuning in from Baltimore, Chicago, San Francisco, the nation's capital, Dallas, Texas, Long Island, New York, Powder Springs, and Buckhead, Georgia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Phoenix, Arizona, Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dublin, Ohio, and more. Sorry I didn't get a chance to get to you all, but we thank you for joining. Our guest today, Valerie L. Hall, is an expert, an HR expert at that, TEDx speaker, DEI ambassador, trainer, coach, connector, and social justice advocate, and much more. Valerie, welcome to Challenges of Faith radio program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
First and foremost, how are you and your loved ones?
I'm doing great. My loved ones are doing fine as well. Woke up to the first time seeing snow in 2021 today, but I didn't know how to feel about that. But otherwise, everything is good.
All right. Valerie, what were your aspirations while growing up?
Honestly, I wanted to be a singer or an actress.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to work in performing arts in some fashion.
Well, you know, before you get off the program, you never know. A listener may have a request or two. They might want you to sing a song. Hear those vocal cords.
No, I'll pass on that.
All right. Valerie, why did you pursue and obtain your BS in social psychology?
So right after high school, it was always an expectation that I'd go to college. And I went to college immediately afterwards, but I did not attend the school that I wanted to attend, nor was I given the opportunity to select my own major. So my parents, who were not college educated, it was their aspiration to ensure that I had a college degree, you know, to increase my options in life. And they pushed me to go to college. I wanted to go to Spelman College at that time in Atlanta. And because I lived in Ohio and was born and raised in Ohio, that did not go over well with my mother. She felt that that was just too far away. So I went to a school that was nearby, a very nice private school, very good school, actually, Denison University. But I just wasn't comfortable there, and they wanted me to major in economics because my mom thought that that was going to ensure the best possibilities for me. But I wasn't good with numbers, and I hated numbers. And so here I was going to a school I did not want to be at, studying something I wasn't interested in. And I eventually dropped out of college. And it wasn't until a few years later when I returned. By the time I returned, I was engaged to be married. My husband at the time, he had a master's degree, and I looked up to him, and he pretty much wanted to know why it was that I dropped out and, you know, where did I lose interest. And what he explained to me at that time was that, you know, very few majors have a concentration in anything. Like if you were to study business, it doesn't necessarily mean that you could run a business. It's very generalized. You know, he suggested studying something that would be more concentrated and something that would relate to what it was I wanted to do. And at the time, I knew I wanted to be a trainer. I at least come to that conclusion. But a lot of doors were being closed because I didn't have a degree. And so when I started to think about, okay, what can make me the best trainer possible? Maybe if I studied human behavior and had a better understanding of that, then maybe I could persuade people, motivate people, develop people in the way that I hope to. So as I looked at different majors, I looked at social psychology as being one, and it just made sense to me at that point. So that's why I studied social psychology.
Excuse me. All right. Let's see now. So listeners, we're going to unpack that because there's somebody out there that has the same aspirations, maybe took the same sojourn or will be. So Valerie started off wanting to use her vocal cords. And of course, out there in the acting world at the same time with the desire. And of course, her beloved parents, and as she indicated, the beloved mom wanted her to continue on the both of them from an educational standpoint. And though they may not have had a collegiate degree, they had sanctified common sense that's gotten a lot of people a long way. And then all of a sudden, as she continued her sojourn, you know, she wanted to get into the head knowledge of individuals at the same time. And as you so heard her share as relates to the individual who was her husband that was in her life, got her to thinking, pondering about her own sojourn from the collegiate standpoint. But as you also heard her share as relates to the private college and the fact that her beloved mom wanted her to go into the financial standpoint, you know, because you got to look toward the future, and there's nothing wrong with that from the moolah standpoint, understanding how it all works and then how it all applies to your own life. Valerie, you continue your education sojourn and obtain your master's. Why human resources management?
Well, because so it probably goes back a little further. I knew that I wanted to be a motivational speaker and trainer. And so when I thought about what studies would help me achieve those dreams, or where would I get the most practice, or where could I utilize those skills best, it just made sense to study something in the area of human resources. After I finished my degree, I was 35 when I finished my bachelor's degree, and I had a fire burning. And so I immediately jumped into a MSA in leadership at Central Michigan. I did not finish that degree because I actually took on a job with DeVry University. And while I was working there as a student success coach, I was offered the opportunity to attend Keller Management School or Keller Graduate School of Management. And I decided, well, let me utilize this opportunity to get a free degree. And so I transferred my credits over as much as I could, and I finished up there, and I ended up studying human resources management and knew that my focal point would be training and development. So that's why went to achieve that degree.
All right. So listeners, again, irrespective of the parents, she still was able to really head toward what they desired at the same time while achieving what she wanted. Remember, Valerie was talking about her desire was to motivate, and that's where we'll head in a little bit. And at the same time, she was able to obtain that degree from a free standpoint while achieving all that needed to be achieved while moving forward. But Valerie, what were some of your challenges while studying to obtain both degrees?
Well, while I was working on both my undergrad and my graduate degrees, I actually was a single mom. I'd gotten a divorce, so I was a single mother. I was working a full-time job and sometimes working a full-time job and a half. And then my son was very active. We were both active in church. We were both involved with his AAU basketball, and he had been playing probably basketball since fifth grade and traveling in the summers. And so I was really involved with the basketball program that he was a part of. That helped me with finances because I didn't have to pay for his participation because I was doing, you know, paperwork for the program. So here I was managing my work life, At times I was speaking and traveling around the state and in the surrounding states as well, going to speak at high schools and colleges, while also trying to do my best to parent and then manage the responsibilities of my son. So it was a lot to juggle at that time, but I was determined to do it.
All right. So motherhood, beloved son, still from that motivational standpoint. And at the same time, you know, having listened to your husband at that time as relates to business and management and so forth, you're still headed toward that way, but you have a lot to juggle as a single mom. A lot of men, we don't understand that. Those ladies out there in your life got a lot going on while trying to move forward in their own life. So let's now turn towards your practical experience. Valerie, now it's time for the workaday world. As a result of all that gained head knowledge, you've been blessed to obtain a wealth of it. For the listeners, again, who are aspiring to pursue specific studies in school or employment-wise, would you take a moment and share your diverse and powerful roles that you've held leading up to now?
Well, I mentioned that while I was pursuing my master's degree at Keller Graduate School of Management, I was working full time. At that time, it was a brand new role for the university. It was considered a student success coach. And that required, you know, pretty much guiding and directing, advising students once they would come on board as a freshman at DeVry, and then you sort of walk them through the matriculation process. From there, around that time, my son was leading up to graduate from high school, so he was deciding that he wanted to go to college in California. His dad lived in California, and he decided he was going to run away from home. And I always tell people, well, when he decided he was going to run away from home, I decided I was going to run away too. So I left at that point. When he moved to go to California, I went and joined cruise ships. And so I went to live and work on cruise ships for 3 years. During those 3 years, I worked for two different cruise lines, Norwegian Cruise Line and Royal Caribbean, and I traveled to more than 30 countries. I stopped counting after 30, but spent most of my time in Europe and the Caribbean. So that was a huge pivotal point in my life because it taught me a lot about training. Up until that time, I was doing a lot of speaking and training, as I mentioned earlier, traveling to different high schools and colleges. By 2010, I had spoken to more than 100,000 students across the country. And I was of the thinking that, you know, if you can successfully train high school students and keep their full attention where you can hear a pin drop and have them laugh at your jokes and engage in your activities, then you're great. I mean, then there's nothing you can't do. There's no one you can't speak to. But I learned very quickly when I went to move and work on cruise ships that with the majority of staff on cruise ships being from other parts of the world, more often than not, probably 90% of the time, English was not the first language for those folks. So I had to learn to train in a different way. I had to be more innovative. And so I was the training and development manager for all of the crew on board the ships. I would train everyone from the captain to the cleaners. And while in that role, I just learned so much about the world. Obviously, I was able to see a lot of the world, but I learned even more about other cultures by just working and talking to the people that were in my classes. And that experience was very impactful because you learn a lot about, while you're learning about others, quite often we're also learning a little something about our own self, our values, our discipline, our heritage, what we know and what we don't know, and how others take such pride in their own. So that was a huge, impactful period in my life. And then if I were to fast forward a little further, I came home from cruise ships. I went to do a little work for the church that I'd grown up in. I did some contract work here and there. I also worked 1 year on a contract with the Transit Authority, where they were changing all of their routes, and I did that. But I would say the next job after that, when I went to work for Goodwill Columbus as the organizational learning and development lead, there I was responsible for all of the employee training and development, leadership development. And then I was also responsible for overseeing two professional boot camps. Trainings that we would host. The boot camps were 2 weeks each session, and they were offered at two different places in our city to our community members who were looking to transform their lives, looking to pursue a career, not just a job. And they learned everything from soft skills to interviewing to writing a resume to the to learning new digital skills, upskilling themselves there as well, learning about Google Classroom or Google Suite. And so we have them stretching themselves, really practicing so that they can nail an interview and really giving them some direction on how their skills and their experience fit into what could become their career. And so that was a great experience because not only were we teaching them these tangible skills, really, and but we were also tapping into who they were and how do they get to their purpose or their why. And so we helped people identify that. And when I tell you that was probably the most impactful opportunity in my career I've ever had was working with community members who were down on their luck, who didn't believe in themselves, or who would look at the agenda for the next 2 weeks of a boot camp and say, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to do this because I don't know how to do these things. And it can be daunting to folks, but to watch folks come in hesitant, skeptical the first couple of days and turn into completely different people by the end of the 2 weeks and go on to be successful in their lives and pursuing their careers is a reward in and of itself. So that was beautiful. But then the pandemic hit, and that changed how everybody was doing business. And but in the midst of that, I've been given the opportunity to apply my skills at Volunteers of America, Ohio and Indiana, where I'm responsible for engaged learning. So I'm excited about all of the different things that I've had the experience of doing and learning and developing new skills along the way. I think that I've been able to combine my passion with a actual cause, which in turn gives me my purpose. I think I'm trying to fulfill it every day as much as possible. And I think God is okay with what I'm doing. So I think I'm in the right direction.
All right. Well, listeners, as you're hearing, Valerie is in fact doing just that. Even from the aspirations while growing up, she's utilizing her voice. Her face is being seen by many around the globe. And you're talking about motivating, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment or two. But that's exactly what she's been doing. And again, for all the CEOs and politicians and individuals of diverse professions that's listening to the program, you know, when we think of HR, you know, what Valerie really just shared is the most important part of someone being in that role, because if they're not touching the person where they're hurting while that person is attempting to do a job for you, then you might want to rethink. And that's just being real about who you have in that position, because again, if the person is coming to work and from the inside out, they're not you know, really thinking highly of themselves, then they're really not going to think highly of the work product and anything else. So you do have a role from that motivation standpoint so that they and the business can be successful at the same time. Valerie, let's turn to your specific specialties relating to global HR and training and development professional, facilitator and speaker, and much more. But before we do, you're also an independent contract speaker for the Monsters Making It Count programs. What is an independent contract speaker, and what did your role involve?
So that was the role that when I spoke of it, I'm no longer working with them because they don't exist anymore, unfortunately. But it was a wonderful program that was sponsored by Monster.com. We had at one time the largest speakers bureau in the country. There were about 200 plus speakers, and we would travel the country going to different high schools and colleges, talking to students about how to be successful in high school, how to get into a college, select a college, get money to go to college, as well as choosing a major or career field. And so I did that for about 9.5 years total. At one point, I was doing that part-time while working as a student success coach. And that was a very that was the experience where I said I was in those high schools, and they those students really reared me up and make, and taught me to be the trainer that I am. But my growth and development didn't end there. It really did expand further when I went to work on ships. But that is the probably the platform that has taught me the most about public speaking. And it was a very to different high schools and meet so many different students. As I mentioned earlier, I've spoken to over 100,000 students during my tenure there, and it was just an absolute pleasure.
All right. So, listeners, again, we're hearing the formation of a person known as Valerie L. Halls, and we're sharing the totality for a reason. Because we start off in life one way, and then it has this twist and turns, some that we can control and some that we cannot. But it has an impact on self. You heard Valerie indicate as it relates to her beloved son, as it relates to him taking off, relocating, and she did as well. But you see her sojourn, she continued on irrespective of whatever was going on in her life. And I say that because now we want to turn toward her other specialties, but we want to take a look at, well, not me, but you all who are listening, because I've already seen it. Valerie, I watched a powerful presentation that you gave in 2020 on a TEDx talk to the audience. And for our listeners, which listeners, it's also in the show notes, how did the presentation change your life?
Well, for many different reasons. The work that I was able to do with Goodwill Columbus allowed me to really find the courage to tell my own story of the trajectory of my career and how it changed, but how I was always on the path of doing what I do today. Even when I didn't always make the best decisions, I do know that it, as part of my journey, it was lessons that I needed to learn. So I say all that to say that the TEDx talk that you are referencing was a talk that I did regarding reducing recidivism. And recidivism is the likelihood of someone who has committed a crime in the past to continue to reoffend. And those matters really stand out to me and impact my heart on so many levels. One, because I've had the opportunity to meet and work with so many wonderful people who have simply just made some bad decisions either because of their childhood experiences and the circumstances in which they grew up in, some because they were just influenced by the folks around them in the community that they were a part of, and some just did not have the best coping skills. And while that was rewarding to get to know people who had made mistakes and who had overcome those mistakes, paid the price for those mistakes, I had the opportunities to help motivate them and redirect them to how they could utilize those skills of the past for promising opportunities, legitimate opportunities for their future.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it touched me so close to home is because I've been one of those people. There was a time in my life when I made a very bad choice because I felt desperate and in need, and I was killing myself working two jobs and going to two schools even at one time and raising a son and still not making enough money to make sense of why I was living the way that I was living. But I was determined to give my son the best opportunities possible, and I didn't want to look like a failure to him or to anyone for that matter, and really fell into some really bad financial times. And a friend of mine who I shared my circumstance with offered me an opportunity to add my name to an insurance claim that was not my insurance claim. So in other words, she was presenting me an opportunity to commit insurance fraud. And I turned it down immediately at first, but as days went on and more mail came in with more bills, my anxiety rose high and I fell into fear, desperation, and made a dumb choice. Now, I have learned that every time in my life when I have felt fear and desperation, I don't make the best choices. But yet still, I decided to make a choice in that state of mind. And because of that, I had to pay a price. Not immediately, but a few years later, I had to answer to that decision. And I was given probation and restitution, but it could have meant prison time. And the bottom line is that even though I didn't go to prison, my barriers to employment were very similar to someone who may have gone to prison. Just having something in your background alone, even if you've never been in trouble before, can still be a huge barrier to employment, which in turn impacts your housing and your food and your health care and your family stability. So I had many rough patches along the way, but the work that I've been able to do and the people I've met, mainly because my focus shifts when I made that bad decision, I wanted so badly to work with people who were in similar situations as myself, and I happen to have a skill set to assist folks with writing resumes and interviewing skills and motivation. And so I decided to apply my direction to as many opportunities as possible to help folks that are justice involved, people who have faced the justice system at some point, and assist them with allowing them to pick up their lives and move on. So I spent a lot of time advocating for justice-involved individuals with into employers, and hoping that employers will open their doors to folks who are able-bodied, smart, with skill sets that are just being underutilized and can make a difference in someone's company.
And congratulations to you. And listeners, again, every human on this planet falls down, and they have a right to get up. And again, when I come back to Valerie, it comes back to a person from the inside. And in that powerful position from an HR standpoint on any company, whether small, middle, or large, if the person that's occupying the position does not understand or appreciate who the persons are that's coming before them to apply for a position so that they can pay forward, then you're doing your company a disservice and that potential applicant. Because again, when you're hearing Valerie Sojourn, like many others out there, irrespective of where they are on the globe, there is someone with a similar sojourn, having a right to fall down, getting up, with the judge being in a position to discern whether the person is doing crocodile tears or in reality truly sorry for what they've done, and then allowing them to have another opportunity to be their best in life the way that they desire to be, and others that's around them who knew that they could be that way as well, especially her parents and her son and those who truly care about her in her sojourn. Again, a few weeks ago, you did it again. What topic did you present and any new lessons learned?
I wasn't a speaker at this last event. I was actually one of the board members of the planning committee and was responsible as chair of the Interactive Partners Committee to invite folks who would come in to our TEDx event and offer some interactive activities, educational activities, or just stress relievers and fun relievers in between our event. Typically at a TEDx event, there may be 10 or 12 speakers speaking that day. And with the pandemic, we decided to go with a hybrid model event. And so part of that event was virtual and part of it was in person. Because of COVID, we decided to cut off in-person attendees at like 75, I think, was the cutoff. So we could only have 75 people in person, but we made sure we had a Caribbean food truck outside. We had upstairs, we had a chess set up where people could go upstairs in between speakers and play chess. They could using the digital photo booth, or they could take photos and videos on the 360 photo machine. We had someone offering a paint party right there in person. We also had a masseuse that was giving some on-the-spot chair massages that day. And then for those who, you know, maybe they just wanted to kick back and play a little game, they could play Connect Four or Uno or even Spades. So we had a whole game table there as well. So it was a great opportunity for people who were going to be there for 4 and 5 hours straight to have a place to sort of, you know, wander off to get a breath of fresh air, get some food, and come back and enjoy more great speakers. That was in person, but also virtually we were offering other activities as well. So everybody who attended wasn't attending in person. Some were watching and streaming the event from home or wherever they were. So if they weren't interested in the current speaker speaking at the time, they could change the channel and go over and maybe hear a talk of two judges talking about the political system and becoming jurors and being Black folks faced with the justice system. Or you could listen to a filmmaker talk to a film curator for the Black Film Festival here in the city. Or you might go and listen to a founding member of Glory Foods, the company that created Glory Greens, the female founder. You might be able to sit and watch her have a discussion with an up-and-coming entrepreneur in the city. So we wanted to give as much variety as possible. It was a lot to keep your hands on and keep, you know, stay in tune with the pulse of the event, but there was a lot going on, but it was success nonetheless. It was really great, a great experience, and I'm glad to be a part of the TEDx family. But I do hope to do a couple more.
Congratulations again. All right. And listeners, again, even though Valerie did not present, but look how God was and is working, allowing her to be a part of the decision-making, who would. Because, again, you're talking about causing an impact, allowing somebody to understand they can be all they can be. And as Valerie was talking and I was pondering back on some of the things she said, it reminded me when I was blessed with an opportunity working with the guy in the corporate world who at that time probably owned half the United States. And I remember him having banks and newspaper companies and all of that. But what was important to and for me, especially as I continue to listen to Valerie Sojourn, was that I remember when he took over a pharmaceutical company. And I remember I needed to grab some staff. And I thought to myself, what best staff could I get? And so what I did, I went out and found individuals, whether they were former military or homeless or whatever, and sat down with them, looked at their backgrounds and hired them, showed them how to get into the computer worlds, all those different world systems for a reason, so that they could know that irrespective of falling down for whatever the reasons are, that they have a right to get back up. And they just needed to know that somebody cared enough. And it's similar to what you are sharing and what you are doing for those that surround you. And you are to be continuously commended for that. And again, Valerie, congratulations. How can interested listeners invite you for potential contracts and or speaking engagements?
Well, you can always email me at valerie.hrm@gmail.com. So again, that's Valerie, spelled Valerie, Hawes@gmail.com. Also, I can be found on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all at Valerie L. Hawes, full name spelled all the way out. And feel free to contact me. I'm always looking for new opportunities to get in front of a new group of people.
All right. And listeners, again, you can find Valerie's information in the show notes. Valerie, you co-authored a book, A Massive Dose of Motivation. What did it entail, and how can our listeners purchase it?
So the book was a collaborative effort. When I used to work with Monsters Making It Count program, one of my mentors there at the time was a gentleman by the name of Kevin Bracey. He was a speaker who worked very closely with Les Brown and was a part of Les's, core group of speakers that he would travel with. And he was putting together several book projects. And what he really pushed for us was the fact that, you know, whenever you're going to speak, you may want to have some sort of collateral material that you can sell and that people will remember you by. And so for many of us, it's thinking about writing a whole book was very daunting. So his idea was, well, what if he found 12 contributors? And that way it was a 12-chapter book, and we were all to speak on the same theme of motivation and how to get it. And really what I talked about mainly was how I had to find myself and figure out a plan to stay centered when I was going through my divorce. My ex-husband was very instrumental in getting me back into school and pursuing a career in the direction I was going. So I felt at the time. But what I realized was that he was a tool that helped direct me in the way in which I should go. But I can survive without him. And so I just sort of talk about some of the tips and tools that kind of got me through a very difficult time as I was trying to rediscover who I was as an individual. And the book can be purchased on Amazon, and it's called A Massive Dose of Motivation. So, yes, and you can probably type in my name, and it'll pop up that way as well.
Again, listeners, going back to the beginning as we started off the program, remember, Valerie wanted to utilize her vocal cords. And at the same time, from an acting standpoint, and you see how through her sojourn leading up to now, that's exactly what she's been doing on behalf of the helpless, the hopeless, the hurting, the homeless, irrespective of what one's background happened to be, and been blessed. Go around the globe to all those diverse countries, meeting diverse individuals, teaching diverse individuals, so that all can help each other. Each other. Valerie, you have and are truly busy. You have a blog as well. What is the name of it, and would you expound on why you wrote two of the topics, God's will, not mine, and when life give you lemons, make this strawberry lemonade.
So, you know, years ago I started the blog, and I have not been very good at trying to put together a plan for how this blog was going to show up. And honestly, I was very premature at the time that I set up the blog, which was years ago, getting used to the idea of telling people out loud that I had made such a horrible mistake in life. And I thought at that time that the blog would help me sort of get in front of my own story and stay in control of my own narrative of my life and what has happened, because people will use instances in your life to attack you. And I wanted to use the instances where I made those mistakes as learning opportunities that actually grew me up. So I started off, I had a really good plan of starting off with writing a couple of blogs, but now I'm determined to get back on top of it. The first day of the year, I'm going to kick off that blog again, and it's going to talk a lot about all of the things and areas in which we can each grow to be better, better emotionally, spiritually, mentally, intellectually, physically, financially, all the ways in which we can be better. So I'm creating and reinventing that blog to become not just the Valerie L. Hawes blog, but really the betterment zone. I want this to be the place, come and maybe learn something that's going to feed their soul, feed their intellect, feed them in some way that hopefully changes their life and leads them to something better. So that's what I'm hoping to do starting the beginning of the year. I also have a YouTube channel. Again, I've created one, and I'm going to kick it off pretty soon here. But that YouTube channel is really called The V Lenore Show, V.Lenore Show, so L-E-N-O-R-E. That is my middle name. And that, I don't know, it was just something I wanted to let this new YouTube channel, where I hope to interview a lot of folks, sort of carry its own, have its own personality. So I think you'll see other aspects of who I am as Valerie, not just the professional person and not just the person who's the advisor or the motivator or the storyteller, but maybe someone who likes to talk about lifestyle matters, who likes to talk a little bit about makeup and fashion, and who loves to talk about celebrity news and current events. So that's what that show is going to be all about.
Valerie, during all of your various sojourns leading to today in our final wrap-up last questions, what has challenged your faith, and how has God been there with and for you, and any final words for our listeners?
Oh, wow. That's a big question, and I will try to make it as simple as possible, but this is what I will tell you. there have been many times when my faith has been challenged. My faith was challenged when I went through a divorce after thinking that I had married Prince Charming, but no one is really Prince Charming. So my faith was tested there. My faith was tested when I lost my father to lung cancer that metastasized to his brain. I was 33, but I felt like I was 3 because I was such a daddy's girl, and I depended on my dad even probably more than I even realized until he became so ill, and 8 months after his diagnosis, he passed away. And so my dad was my best friend. He was my playmate. He was my buddy, my road dog. We were really, really tight. He was my protector. And then he was gone. So my faith was really challenged there. It was challenged again, obviously, when I went through a really bad financial period in my life and thought that the only recourse was to break the law. That is probably the lowest of lows. When you are feeling so hopeless that you've forgotten that the God that wakes you up every morning, that has gotten you through some other tough times, probably times that were tougher than they were at that moment. I definitely had much tougher moments after that. But obviously that's what comes with making bad choices. There are consequences to making bad choices. So my faith was tested then. But what I saw more than anything, and then my faith was tested one more time when my mother died in 2014. But a couple of years later, I lost my sister. So I have had so many losses. It's a lot, but I've also seen God's mercy in the midst of it, his grace and mercy, when I wasn't worthy of the goodness of waking up, of a second chance and third chances, and the jobs that I have been blessed with, and the opportunities to share my story with others, and the platforms that have been extended to me, being on this show being one of those platforms. So his grace and mercy is what continues to keep me. What I know for a fact is the only thing that got me through, because there were times when there was nobody there. There was nobody there but God. And I am forever grateful and indebted to the privilege to be in this world telling these stories, because it didn't have to work out this way. His hand was on me throughout the entire process. I could have easily gone to prison for 30 years. And I'm here telling you this story from the comfort of my home. So I know that his grace and mercy is with me at all times. And so I have an obligation to not only worship him and serve him, but my service for him has to be how it shows up in the community around me and how I can serve others. So.
Any final words for our listeners?
I just want to tell people that for one, no one is perfect, and that we all make mistakes, and that your mistakes should not define your future, and it only can define your future if you decide that that is your new brand. If it's not who you are, if that's not who you want others to see you as, that's going to require some changes on your part. And as long as you are looking to God for the right direction, you're going to be fine. He's going to protect you and keep you through it, even through the toughest of times. And I don't want anyone to ever be fooled by fear. And don't let desperation creep into your hearts and minds, because when we allow it in, it comes to destroy. And it can do so just like that. I remember I used to be so embarrassed and just felt so shameful when I would have to go in and meet with my probation officer. And I've been blessed with even the probation officers that have been in my life when I was going through that process. And they would say, you know, everybody makes mistakes, and that everyone is one mistake away from finding themselves in a bad decision, in a bad situation, rather. And so I say that to say that, you know, if we extend empathy towards our brothers and sisters who have made bad choices but have paid their price to society and paid their debt to society, and that they have truly shown that they're ready for change, we have an obligation to help them. I also want people to know that it's up to you to make the best decisions for your life. Your parents can't make it for you. You have to make it for you. And then you have to stand firm in it and understand that even when things don't work out your way, you can always make a new decision. And so when others make decisions for you, they may have your best interests at heart, but they may not be making the best choices for you. Their intentions are good, but you have to be grown up enough to make decisions for yourself. And then last but not least, I just want everyone to know that your life is what you make it, but we also have a responsibility to one another. And so as long as we're each growing to be the best version of ourselves and offer ourselves up to our communities to be of service to one another and to the generations to come, so that we lay out something so that this world that we're in can be the world that we desire it to be, I think that we all have to make sure that we are doing our best to contribute our most. That's all I have.
All right, that is powerful enough. So listeners, here we have Valerie L. Hall, Global HR Training and Development Professional and author. Valerie, thanks for taking the time out to come on Challenges of Faith radio program and share your powerful sojourn, that I know that God's going to continue to use you to do it, no matter where you go, no matter where he would have you to go, so that he's glorified, others are helped and upbuilding at the same time, that you keep soaring as he intended for you to be and to do. When you started off, wanting to utilize those vocal cords, and so that your face can continually be seen around the globe. Listeners, there was a person that every day would walk by a monastery on their way to the store. And as they walked by, they would look and see these monks looking like they were serene, all peaceful, happy, joyous. And so each time as the person continued back and forth from the store, one day they said, you know, I'm going to stop inside that monastery and ask those monks, why are they so peaceful, happy, and joyous? And the person did, and they asked the monk that opened the door the question. The monk said, well, every day we fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. And that's what Valerie is doing as she shows, not just tell, making sure that the lips are matching the shoes, so that you, the listener, irrespective of where you are around the globe, will know you've fallen down. Now get up. Get up and move forward. Lovingly take a walk around yourself. Know what it's all about. And at the same time, remember, those with whom we spend our time with do determine our character. We're either going to be like them or they us. And that's what Valerie was sharing as relates to her sojourn. Thank you for tuning in to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCants.
Thank you, Gary.